Doc Smough here. Thanks for joining us. Today's PEDcast features child food expert Dr. Charlotte Richeuse. Longtime listeners to Portable Practical Pediatrics will recognize that name. She has been a guest on my show many times. She is also the force behind an excellent food blog called thechildrenstable.com. Recently, I talked to Dr. Richeuse about a topic that many parents and myself find confusing, how to read and understand a food label. Artificial versus natural flavorings, this preservative or that preservative, artificial colors and sweeteners are among the things readers of food labels need to begin to understand. I thought my listeners might enjoy an opportunity to improve their food IQ with an expert like Dr. Richeuse to guide them. So don't go anywhere. Here comes Dr. Richeuse.
It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions. He has answers. It's Portable Practical Pediatrics on your schedule. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Dr. Richeuse, my listeners, I know, want to know why it is important for them to know how to read and understand a food label. Can you give us some information about that, please?
Well, as you know, the food system has gotten more industrialized, and there's a longer and longer list of complicated ingredients on foods. I do think that it's important for people to understand what these things are, which ones are not a big deal to worry about. Maybe they're just vitamin additives, and which ones there could be problems with. And we don't want to wait for the FDA to have to figure out that there's a problem. And we want to stay on top of those things ourselves.
Yeah. So by industrialized, you mean processed.
Yeah. Okay. Made in a factory.
having chemicals added, preservatives, colors,
dyes. Yeah. Now here I want to stop you there, because the words chemical, toxic, natural, I think these are tough words, because a lot of people, they want to just buy something if it says natural or if it says that it's no chemicals. Now, chemicals are everywhere, right? Chemicals are in good food, bad food, whatever. Everything is a chemical in a sense. And whether something is natural or unnatural is also like a really slippery kind of idea, or toxic. You know, toxic is all about how much of something you put in. So just because something has an additive that's not quote unquote natural doesn't necessarily mean it's unsafe. Now, you know, I'm definitely a proponent of, you know, avoiding chemicals or, you know, industrial foods that we know to not be healthy, which like trans fats, partially hydrogenated fats. Now, those are ones that we know are bad for you, and we definitely want to avoid those. But others, it's hard to say. So let's, you know, take a look at some of these and see, you know, just because it says artificial, does that mean it's bad, or is it more complicated than that?
Yeah, good point. Good point. Does the FDA help us with this? I mean, is there some?
Well, the FDA has a term, GRAS, which means generally recognized as safe. And any food additive is going to be given that general stamp of approval. Now, sometimes that's just generally recognized as safe until something comes up and we realize it's not safe.
Yeah, until it's used for 20 years and then we realize it's not safe.
Right.
Like the trans fats that you mentioned.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So those were also generally recognized as safe, but then we realized that actually on the long term they're not so safe. So we do want to stay, you know, informed on all of these things and make sure that we're not consuming anything regularly that is not good in the long term.
Okay, so let's go through the specifics, shall we?
Sure. So there are a few things that come up a lot when you're going through the grocery store. One of them is processed meats, hot dogs, deli meat, that sort of thing. And there's some debate about that. it's probably a good idea to, not necessarily that you shouldn't eat them at all, but that there it's not something you want to eat all the time. And the ones that say natural, no nitrites added, I've learned, I was always buying those. And it turns out that there's not a whole lot of science behind. They use celery seed instead of chemical nitrates. And apparently it's basically, it's the same thing chemically. It's just, it comes from, it's derived from a natural source instead of a non-natural source, but chemically they're exact same thing. So if nitrites are bad for you, then probably this is going to be the same. I don't think we're getting around that with the natural. So I think the take home with deli meats and nitrates is that probably keep that to a minimum. Moderation, I think, is important there.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I think the World Health Organization has asked people to minimize processed meats in their kids' diets. That's important. And we've known for a long time that hot dogs probably aren't particularly good food.
Yeah. They are a good way for kids to get meat because they like them, but definitely, you know, maybe like a once-a-week sort of thing, not an everyday thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
So then there's the question of, you know, artificial flavors and that kind of thing. Here again, I just don't buy the idea that a natural is inherently better than an artificial. So what really is the difference? It turns out that mostly the difference is cost, that companies, if they're not going to put artificial flavorings in something, basically, when you make a processed food, you're taking out a lot of the flavor. So they have to add that back in somehow. And so they're going to put in flavors one way or the other. So a lot of times what you'll see on a package, and I know last time I browsed the baby food section in my grocery store very recently, almost every product on the shelf contained quote-unquote flavors. Often it says natural flavors. I also thought it was funny. I was looking at the ingredients of Gerber yogurt melts, popular food, and it says on the package that it is, quote, naturally flavored with other natural flavors. And I thought, that's awfully complicated for something so natural. Mm-hmm. And people assume that natural flavors is just means that it comes naturally from the food. But what they call natural flavors in food science are compounds isolated by food scientists from a wide variety of sources, not necessarily like the food itself. So just a natural apple flavor doesn't mean it comes from an apple. It just means that it has a natural source. But the problem is that, according to Scientific American, I found that consumers pay a lot more for natural flavorings. But these are, in fact, no better in quality, nor are they safer in terms of any kind of scientific studies than their cost-effective artificial counterparts. And MSG, by the way, is a similar story. It is simply an isolated flavor compound that is chemically exactly the same as a compound that's in lots of natural flavorful foods like tomatoes, cheese, and mushrooms. And as far as I know, there is really no scientific evidence that monosodium glutamate, which is what MSG is, has any negative health consequences. And I know a lot of people avoid it, but there's really not much scientific evidence for that. And just to be clear, that even in organic foods or other natural foods products, you'll often see MSG in other forms. People think that it doesn't have MSG, but if you see something called yeast extract or hydrolyzed yeast, even soy sauce, those are all basically chemically equivalent to MSG. So if people actually are sensitive to glutamates, those are going to be the same. But as far as I can tell, MSG is not something we need to worry about.
Great.
Now, next, there's the issue of artificial dyes. And this, I know, is one. Some people have questions about whether they can cause hyperactivity in children. And there's been some evidence that they might, although the FDA continues to say that they're pretty much safe. So I don't know if you have any insights on that.
Well, I do. You know, in Europe, I think they're banned, so that tells you something. Also, there was a pediatrician in the United States back in the 70s named Feingold, who felt strongly that a lot of kids with ADD and hyperactivity were really sensitive to food dyes, and he had a special elimination diet for these kids. When it was studied, this was when I was in medical school, we were taught that no, there's no evidence that that's the case, and Dr. Feingold got much maligned in those days. But as people have looked at this more carefully recently, they think that there actually is some effect in some children. So if you study huge numbers of kids, you don't see this because the sensitive ones get diluted by the kids who are not sensitive. But there is a subset of children who are hyperactive who seem to be set off by artificial dyes. So that take that for what it's worth.
Well, and there, you know, there's the idea that some people are affected differently by different things. And so it's possible that, you know, for most people it's okay, but maybe you're one of the people that doesn't sit well with. So then
Certainly see that with alcohol. I mean,
you know,
some people can drink and have no issues. Some people get very sleepy. Some people get belligerent. Some people have substance abuse problems. I mean, it's all the same substance.
Right.
We're all different.
It affects our bodies differently.
Yeah.
And, you know, anything that gives your kid blue poop, you just have to kind of wonder.
Although blueberries can do that, too, probably.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Not the same color.
Not the same color.
Next, I wanted to talk a little bit about artificial sweeteners. In my opinion, these should be avoided in children altogether, even though the FDA insists that they're safe. And there are natural products like stevia that are probably not harmful, but still, I think, unnecessary. I also would say go for products such as applesauce or yogurt that say unsweetened rather than sugar-free. And sugar-free, I found, usually indicates that there's going to be a sugar substitute like aspartame or sucralose, which are both artificial sweeteners. But unsweetened just means that it has no added sugar. And so that's also a way of avoiding the HFCS, the high fructose corn syrups, that there's a lot of debate about that, whether or not that's a more damaging sugar than plain sugar. I think the jury is still sort of out on that.
Yeah, I think the jury is thinking that it's probably harmful because various reasons. That's a whole podcast.
I avoid anything that says it has high fructose corn syrup. I tend to avoid also because I think it indicates just an inferior product. And
So that's a great point that you made, just, you know, the unsweetened versus the sugar-free. So you want to go for the unsweetened, means they haven't added anything, versus sugar-free.
Right.
They've added something to make it sweet, but it's not sugar.
Yes, and reduced sugar. I've also noticed things that say reduced sugar, sometimes like even like packaged oatmeal, things like that. If you really look, they actually add NutraSweet or one of the sucralose, one of those. And so it has that sort of weird sweet flavor of the artificial sweeteners.
Right.
So that, and you know, nothing is stopping you from adding your own dollop of honey or sugar at the end if you think it's not sweet enough.
Yeah, good point.
And so.
Well, Dr. Rishuz, you're giving us great information. So I want you to sum up how you think parents of American children should use food labels in their everyday shopping decisions. Could you please?
Sure. So I think the easiest advice to follow, it's not always the thing that people want to hear, but really the best thing is to cook wherever you can from just raw whole ingredients. And this is just a way of getting around a lot of these problems. You know, rather than buying the little packets of oatmeal, just buy oatmeal and put in some sugar if you want it to be sweeter. Food companies, the thing is that when they remove, when they do the processing, you're losing some flavor. And so they're just going to find a way to add things back in. And so the only way really you can get around, and this is not to say, I don't believe that a lot of these things are dangerous or toxic. It's just that it's just better to eat natural in the sense of just unaltered foods. That's my personal philosophy.
Yeah, you can make oatmeal once a week and put it in the refrigerator and just take out a little bit when you're ready to use it. You don't have to do it seven times a week, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, put a little cinnamon in if you like that. You know, there's, and not to mention, it's a lot cheaper that way. If you buy just a big carton of oatmeal versus those little packets, I mean, you save a lot of money in the end, too.
Yeah, and all the packaging that goes along with
mm-hmm,
it.
Exactly.
That our kids are going to be dealing with for the next 100 years.
And this also takes care of the color issues because it's always in packaged food that they put color, you know, and of course for a birthday cake or something like that, it's different. But on the day to day, you know, you just don't need colors and flavors and all that sort of thing in your morning oatmeal.
Good point.
Another thing I find a lot of in the baby food category is there's some things I just don't even understand why. You know, the little jars of pureed banana, it seems like, why not just open a banana and mash it with a fork?
Yeah, that's
good. So.
It sounds logical. And probably better.
So you save money, you save packaging, no worries about additives. So wherever you can, you know, it's just a great way to go.
Okay.
Now, if not, buy products with the shortest list of ingredients. That's usually a pretty good rule of thumb.
Oh, that's big. Yeah, I think so. That eliminates the colors and the dyes and the sweeteners and the.
Yeah, if you see a whole slew of ingredients, now the only exception to that is, you know, a lot of times in baby food, there you'll see lots of things, and it looks like chemicals, but they're actually vitamins and minerals that have been added.
Yeah.
So that's not, you know, a bad thing, but. Generally, you want to go for the shortest list of ingredients.
Okay, good point.
Buy the highest quality foods you can afford. If you can afford the organic version, go for it. A lot of times they cut out junk ingredients in the organic version. It's also important to read carefully when a product says that it is reduced in fat or sugar, because a lot of times they make up for that lack of flavor or texture with artificial thickeners, sweeteners, other ingredients, carrageenan, sucralose, aspartame, all of that stuff. So, you know, just watch out for reduced things that are, say, reduced, because usually they add chemicals. So if you're trying to avoid those additives, then just go for the original and not the light or the reduced. Don't microwave in plastic. We didn't really talk about that, but because there's also all kinds of things that can leach into food not necessarily put in it to begin with. And one of them is plastic from microwaves. I mean, from the once it's heated, the chemicals leach into the food.
Right. The infamous BPA, BPPs, yes. You know, all that. Now there's a BPC, I hear.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And then by the same token, if you can buy frozen, I tend to prefer frozen foods over canned. Some foods are good canned, you know, beans and things like that. But I think that in terms of chemicals being sort of leached into the food, it's better to go with frozen.
Absolutely. Because you know what they put inside the cans?
Yeah, they're like lined.
They're lined with plastic. So you got the same issue. You're not microwaving them, but you got the same issue. It may have been sitting on the shelf for years. Acidic food, leaching plastic. So
you want, if you're going to buy corn or peas or whatever, you know, go with the frozen one. It's usually better anyway.
Very good point.
Okay, I think that's about it.
Well, Dr. Reshues, I cannot thank you enough for joining us. You are so full of useful, practical information. I just can't thank you enough. And I want to remind people that they can find you at thechildrenstable.com, that great blog that you run, to make sure everybody check that out. Thanks for
having me, Doc Smo.
Yeah, thank you. And we're going to get you back, of course.
All right. I look forward to it.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I would like to thank the following people for their assistance in the production of this podcast. Dr. David Jaffe, the voice of the introduction. Robert Beezer, the composer-arranger of the intro music. Ann Gesner, my wonderful content editor. Benjamin Smolin and Jerome Moof, the talented musicians who produced this delightful theme music. Sarah Smolin and Nathaniel Horlick for their digital wizardry. And Wendy Smolin Esquire and Seth, the Rocket Man Barrister Jaffe, for their inspirational guidance. Thanks, guys.
By listening to this podcast, you agree to all of the terms and conditions found at the DocSmo.com website. This DocSmo.com podcast is informational only. Dr. Smolin does not diagnose, treat, or offer specific medical advice for your child. For specific medical advice regarding your child, consult his or her healthcare provider.